It's time for Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester dedicated to the excitement, the passion, the development, and well-being of young athletes. From peewee to college athletics, Youth Sports Now brings you expert advice and helps prep young athletes for the game and beyond. Youth Sports Now is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic college prep school for grades 6 through 12. And by TJT Sports Photography, taking the winning shot every time. Here's the host of Youth Sports Now, the lifelong Little Leaguer, Greg Camp.
And welcome to this edition, the Christmas time edition of Youth Sports Now. I am Greg Camp, your host and lifelong Little Leaguer of Youth Sports Now. And I want to wish all of our listeners, as well as maybe our new listeners, a happy holiday season. And thanks for joining us at this special Christmas time edition of Youth Sports Now. Hey, you know, aside from the Christmas time and the gift giving and all that kind of good stuff that the holiday brings, this is the time of year that a lot of kids look into colleges. And they're looking at colleges for where they may want to go or even maybe where they want to apply to go to college. And for those that play youth sports at the high school level, many of them start to look at where should they possibly get a scholarship? Where do they want to go to possibly get a scholarship? What that means is that you've got these kids out there who are starting to think about recruiting. While the recruiters maybe aren't yet ready to be making offers right at this point in time, the fact of the matter is that the kids are looking to the colleges to determine where they may be interested in attending, whether it be in 2 years or less. But now is the time that they do that. So with that in mind, U Sports Now thought that the Christmas time would be a great opportunity to talk about some recruiting. And instead of doing it from the NCAA or the Division I, II, or III college perspective, we're going to take a look at it from the perspective of a high school student. What does he or she look for when it comes to choosing a college, and how do they get their name out there in front of, you know, the thousands of recruiters that are out there, and ultimately get the recruiter to hopefully watch them come to a game here in the Monroe County or surrounding areas and see what that young athlete can do for scholarships or for some sort of break into their college tuition. So when we come back, we're going to have a very special guest. His name is Matt Carroll, and Matt is a sophomore at Aquinas in Rochester. Matt's a baseball player, and we're going to talk to him about his lifelong love of the game, but now he's at a point in his time, in his career, where he's got to look at things and look a little bit more forward to the college years. So when we come back, we'll talk to Matt and find out how a high schooler feels about college recruitment.
Well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told, and a real famous cat all dressed up in red, and he spends the whole year working out in his sled.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family, where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you win. Will feel the difference.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
And welcome back to Youth Sports Now. This is our wonderful Christmas show and opportunity we have to talk to a young athlete all about his hopes and his dreams. You know, we've talked in the past about college recruitment and how the colleges are actually recruiting young athletes at ages that really, really are very, very young. And that many times you've got the high school students out there who are trying to make some decisions on where they should go to college and maybe even which recruiters they should approach to possibly attend the colleges of their choice. You know, if you watch the 60 Minutes show this week, there was a little bit of a segment on the colleges actually recruiting kids who were 11, 12, and 13 years old, all to be quarterbacks at Division I schools. And it was pretty amazing. And I thought, you know, what better time to talk to a young athlete? So with us on the Youth Sports Now hotline is Matt Carroll. Matt is a sophomore at Aquinas, and Matt is a baseball player, and he's starting to look at colleges and is also very interested in being recruited by the colleges. And Matt, first of all, welcome to Youth Sports Now.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about it. Let's get into this whole topic of recruitment. But before we get into that, we really have to discuss a little bit about your background and the sport that you love and kind of where you are now. So let's tell our listeners, you know, what is the sport that you play? What have you done up to this point of being a sophomore to get yourself ready to be college ready?
Well, I've been playing baseball my whole life. It was my passion ever since I was little. And primarily the main thing I've been doing to, you know, be able to play at the college level is just train and try to get better every day. It's what a lot of people do. I mean, it's the only real way to do it. You know, if you don't practice your craft, you're not going to get better. So I try to pride myself on working hard and, you know, trying to get better every day.
So, Matt, when you were a little kid, I mean, you know, you're a sophomore in high school now and you're starting to think of college. When you were younger, say at the 9, 10, 11-year-old level, did you have a vision or did you have a dream of playing college baseball and beyond? Or was this something that grew as a passion over the years?
Well, around that time when I was, you know, adolescent, like younger, I really just enjoyed the game and I wanted to have fun with it. So playing at Pennfield Little League really helped me, you know, grow and love the game even more because I realized how a community can really love a sport and what it really means to be a part of a team. And it wasn't until I was around 12 or 13 that I really started, you know, watching the College World Series in Omaha, and I started, you know, watching the atmosphere and just the competition level, and I realized, I was like, wow, being able to play like there, even in Grand Junction for, you know, JUCO schools, anything like that would just be great and something I really want to do. So, I mean, I got to grow over time, but at the same point, it's something that I've always wanted to do.
So, you know, let's talk a little bit about that. You want to do this. You want to get to the college level at the very least for baseball. You know, and then I'm sure your parents are very adamant about you getting a college education. So how do you, as a young man, balance that whole concept of, hey, look, I want to play baseball, mom and dad, when I get to college, and at the same time making sure that your parents' you know, wishes of you going to college come true as well? How do you balance those things?
Well, I mean, first things first, I've been taught, you know, academics opens a lot more doors than athletics. So it's been preached in my family and just wherever I've been that, you know, I'd rather have books than, you know, books over anything pretty much. So, you know, growing up, they always told me, you know, if you don't do your homework, you can't go to practice. So they put in good habits to me on, you know, how to get my schoolwork done. So I feel like if I do better academically than I do athletically, it'll open more doors for me. So if I can use my athletics to get me into a better college, it'll only help me.
So, Matt, with you being a sophomore and you're at Aquinas, so I imagine you do play on the baseball team, am I correct?
Yes.
And what position do you play, and how long have you been playing that position?
I'm a catcher primarily, and I've been catching since I was around 9 or 10.
So what do you know about catching in terms of how the colleges look at catchers? Do you think that that's an advantage for you when colleges are recruiting for baseball players?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know what colleges look for when they're looking for a catcher. They need someone that's, you know, a leader and that can lead their pitching staff. And I know that, you know, with a catcher at least, you have to have certain intangibles in order to play at the college level. And intangibles are something you really can't teach, but if you have them, you know, you're set. I don't have all of them, but, you know, I've shown that, you know, I can work with people and that I can help my pitchers get out of tough situations. So stuff like that helps me, you know, realize that, okay, if I can do certain things, it could help me get looks. So knowing that, it helps me realize that, you know, some things are realistic, like, you know, a D3 or some stuff's realistic and some isn't.
So what are you doing, Matt? I mean, you know, on U Sports Now, we have spoken with a couple of different people. We've spoken with, you know, a college recruiter himself. We have also spoken with a varsity basketball coach from the Rochester area who interacts with the recruiters all the time. And then we've also talked on the show with various organizations that say and work with kids to make sure that their stuff is noticed by the recruiters. But let's hear it from you, from a young athlete. Again, you're a sophomore at Aquinas. So what are you doing to possibly get the attention of a recruiter, and where are you finding that information?
Well, what I've always been taught and what everyone's told me is that I need to be proactive. I can't expect people to approach me. I have to approach them. And knowing that, it makes the whole recruiting process easier. Reaching out to coaches, going to camps and showcases. It helps you get a feel for how, you know, what I need to do in order to play at the next level. So knowing that, it helps me realize that, you know, if I can contact coaches now as a sophomore by senior year, and hopefully I'm better than I am now, it only makes things easier. So I'm reaching out to coaches. I'm using NCSA, which is a great tool. It's giving me all the education I need to know on everything, because I went in clueless. But with NCSA, it's really helped me get to know what recruiting is about and, you know, the deadlines for when certain coaches can talk to me. And it's basically given me everything I need to know.
So let's talk a little bit about some of those details. You know, when you're looking all this at this research, I'm assuming that, you know, this is something you're doing because you have a passion for it. You want to go on to play collegiate baseball at whatever possible level, whether it be D1, 2, or 3. So are you looking at particular colleges and therefore getting the names of the recruiters, or are you just looking at the academic side and hoping that there's a good recruiter for baseball? How do you approach this? What would you say to a kid who's just starting out?
Well, I mean, I'm just starting off myself, so I can't answer all of that. But what I do is I ask kids from the area that have gone on and played at a high level. You know, your Connor Simonettis and Dave Vaccaros, the kids that have really went on and, you know, made a big name for themselves. And so with that, you learn from the people above you. So they've taught me some stuff that I'd be able to use, you know, when it comes my time to start really talking to coaches, because I really haven't done that yet, considering I'm a sophomore and that I can't talk to some of these colleges yet.
So why is that? I mean, do you know the answer to that, why you can't talk to the colleges yet as a sophomore?
Yeah, because I'm not a junior, and I have to be across a certain deadline, I'm pretty sure, in order to talk to some colleges. I know, you know, there's a few loopholes, and the kids that are really good, you know, talk to coaches like that. But, you know, I'm realistic with myself, and I know that, you know, my time will come and that I shouldn't have expectations with that kind of stuff right now.
So let me ask you a question. I don't know if you had the opportunity to watch the 60 Minutes episode that was on, but I'll tell you what it was about, and also tell the listeners in case they didn't see it. There is a gentleman out in California who is a quarterback coach, and he has coached a number of Division I quarterbacks, and some of them have gone on to an NFL career. I will will be completely honest and blunt in my assessment that he really hasn't had, aside from Jake Locker, he hasn't had somebody, you know, a real big quarterback who everybody would know right off the tip of their tongue. But ultimately, he has created a venue where there are kids, and I do call them kids because that's what they are, at the 9, 10, 11, and 12-year-old level. And he puts these kids through these drills and so on, and then talks to the college recruiters. It is very expensive. And as I watched the 60 Minutes report, the thing that occurred to me was the fact that I kept asking, are the kids living out their dream, or are they living out their parents' dream? There was one player in particular whose father flies him once or twice a month from Atlanta to Los Angeles for these classes, which run upwards of $400 to $500 an hour. So that's a little bit about the story. My question for you, Matt, is, you know, when you sit back and objectively look at this, is this something that you want to do personally, or is this something that someone instilled in you and said, hey, you should do this? I mean, I think I know you well enough to know what the answer is, but how do you look at that from a player's perspective?
Yeah, you know, it's something I've always wanted to do with myself. I wanted to play college baseball. I don't want my senior year of high school being the last time I step on a ball field. So that's my motivation, that I want to be able to play at the next level. You know, my parents actually pushed me because they know the goals I have, but they did not instill those in me. I instilled that into myself.
So when you look at this and you compare yourself to, you know, let's just say a stereotyping here, you know, you compare yourself to a bunch of other kids who are your age, you know, are there a lot of kids doing this in the Rochester area, or is this something that you kind of feel you're doing this on your own and maybe a little bit different from the rest of the kids your age?
Well, at least in my school, for Aquinas, there's a ton of kids doing what I'm doing, and they're doing it bigger than I am. You know, there's some kids throughout the whole region, like the whole Rochester region, that are already committed and they're underclassmen. So I know I'm not alone with this at all. But when it comes to, like, my sport specifically and at my age, there's some, but none of us have really gotten, you know, our feet wet with this yet. We're just starting off. I'm sure within, you know, next coming years it'll be bigger now, but as of right now for baseball, at least in this area, I mean, you know, not really, because if we were down south and we were doing this, I'm sure it'd be a whole nother story. But considering we live up north and we're in New York, you know, it's not going to be that serious right now.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point. You know, in one of the most recent studies by the SUNY New York college system, they were talking about the kids who do receive scholarships. And surprisingly, the Rochester area is at a higher percentage than they are the numbers nationwide. But at the same time, they're fairly low. So when you look at this stuff and you say, look, this is something I want to do, I'm actually personally very happy to hear you say, you know, books over baseball. But when you look at this, is there an expectation for yourself to make Division I, Division II, Division III, or is it ultimately doesn't matter as long as you get the opportunity to play college ball?
Well, I mean, obviously, at least kids my age, they want to say they want to go D1. And I've realized within myself, it'd be a dream to go D1, but I'd rather enjoy my college experience and have fun and play than go to a D1 and just sit bench, because you hear about D3, D2 kids getting drafted. So I'm not trying to say at any point I'll get drafted. I'm just saying that baseball's not like football when it comes to the college level. You can have kids at the lowest level still get drafted to play professional baseball, unlike football, where you hardly ever hear of D3s getting on to play in the NFL. So I just kind of want to enjoy my high school experience, enjoy my college experience at whatever level that is.
So, you know some of the names as well as I do. You've got your Dusty Odenbachs and some of the other kids that have gone through the Rochester schools, whether it be, a private school like McQuaid or Aquinas or the guys who have gone to Irondequoit. Certainly, you've got Annie Perino, who is, with the Oakland A's now, and we've got some people in the Yankees system as well. But none of them have really made it to the majors as of yet, and certainly I think that at some point in time in the future, we're going to have a bunch of major league players from the Rochester schools. So when you look at that, now shrink that down a little bit, Matt, and think about the colleges. Do you have a list or a short list of the colleges that you would like to attend?
Well, I mean, Notre Dame's always been, my favorite college. I love their football team. It'd obviously be a great place to go to school. I have, no real expectation to go there. So it's something nice that would like to happen, but, I'm not going to be upset if that doesn't happen. I haven't really thought about which colleges I really want to look at yet. The only one that I could really say that about is probably St. John Fisher. I met with one of their coaches, and I really liked it, the whole experience there. And I feel like Fisher would be a really nice fit. But, it's still way too early because you got a lot of great schools in the area with all the SUNY and some of your big D1s like St. John's and such. So I really can't say that yet, but, each college has its own fit, and whatever one fits me best is the one I'll go to. It doesn't matter what level it is.
Well, that, Matt, it sounds like you've got a wonderful perspective. We are speaking with Matt Carroll, who is a sophomore at Aquinas in Rochester. And Matt is a very interesting young man in the sense that he's a baseball player, but we've always talked to the guys on the other side of recruiting, but never the athletes. And Matt is helping us put some pieces to the puzzle together for the kids who are looking at the recruiting. So Matt, you've done your homework. I mean, you've got all this information. You've got the website stuff going. You're obviously looking at things for the various colleges. You don't have your expectations set so high that you need to go to Cal State Fullerton to play baseball. What would be, when you look at the academics and the baseball side? We know you're a catcher. We know you want to play baseball in college. What at this point, because it can always change, at this point as a sophomore in high school, what are your academic dreams? I mean, do you have a major yet that you're thinking about? And how does that play into the type of college you would go to?
Well, what I've always thought of when it comes to this is I'd rather have a college at a less level, like a D2 or D3, but looks better on a diploma than a D1, but it doesn't look as good. So I want to use my athletics to propel me into the best academic institute I can go to. So whatever that is, would be great. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I haven't really put much thought into that. I've just thought, all right, I need good grades, and I want to play ball. Well, I haven't really gotten into all that specifics yet.
Well, Matt, I tell you what, this is the type of conversation we'd like to continue to have with you over the years and see exactly how Matt Carroll turns out after high school or whatever college you decide to go to in baseball. One quick thing, I want to change things up a little bit because, right after interviewing you on our first segment of U Sports Now, we have our normal Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training session, which is sponsored by Peak Performance. And one of the things we talk about is injuries. So, Matt, I know that in your career you've had one injury in particular when I know that you hurt your wrist. But what's your advice to the kids who are maybe at the 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old level that, they might be afraid to tell their coach or to tell their mom or their dad that they've been injured and they continue to play? You've been there. You've had to sit out because of an injury. So what would you tell these young athletes?
Well, I tell them that would you rather have a bad game and, hurt your team when you have an injury, or would you rather be honest with yourself and your coach and admit you're hurt and that it wouldn't be best for you or the team to play? You got to think, when I got hurt, I thought of the team. I shouldn't be catching when I have a bad hand, bad wrist, because I won't do as well, and I don't want to alter my team's performance and my performance if I'm not 100%. So I think with some of these young athletes now, they want to play the hero role. And, I mean, I did too when I was their age, but now I'm at the level now in high school where, you know, when it comes to sectionals and all that, you got to be healthy. And if you're not healthy, you got to tell your coach because you don't want your injury to affect the whole team's performance.
Which is a great attitude and certainly something that the younger kids can learn from. But lastly, Matt, tell us, you know, when you were injured and you did take this approach of, you know, team first, what was it like for you? I mean, so many times, you know, the professional athletes, you know, hey, they're getting paid to play. And if they get hurt, you know, they're still going to get their paychecks. And yes, they may take a very long time to rehab. You are a young athlete, a high school athlete. When you were injured, how did you deal with it mentally? And again, if you could, give the kids some advice.
Well, I mean, when I got hurt, the only thing that I really remember is just thinking, all right, when I come back, I want to be stronger than I was before. So the injury, I feel like, almost propelled me to where I am today because it made me work that much harder to not only make my wrist get, you know, to where it once was, but I wanted it to be better. So, you know, if a young athlete gets hurt now, they got to realize if they're in 7th, 8th grade and they're 12 or 13, they got all their high school left. So they shouldn't let this really get to their head. I've known numerous kids. One of my good friends actually just tore his ACL in September, and he's back to walking almost full health now. So, I mean, I know it seems bad at the time, but I feel like a lot of kids now, they don't think big picture. They just think of the now, when they should be thinking about the future and what they do now can affect them later. So when you think about that and you just work hard, you know, good things happen to you.
Well, we've been speaking with Matt Carroll. Matt is a sophomore at Aquinas, and he's a baseball player, a catcher, and looking for a college career. A couple of things that Matt said, which are really very, very much have a high impression on me, is the books over baseball and some of his advice with the young athletes and the injuries. Hey, Matt, thanks a lot for joining us on the U Sports Now hotline, and we're going to follow this career of yours and see where it leads, and maybe you come back every so often and give us an update, and who knows, maybe you can help another young athlete in this whole recruiting process. So we appreciate it. When we come back on U Sports Now, we'll have Mike Naparello with us from Peak Performance and our Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training chat.
Where you can see every couple tries to stop rocking around.
WYSL Avon Rochester.
I am Little League.
I am Little League!
We are Little League.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
Sportsmanship, teamwork, character. Little League, big dreams.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And we are back on Youth Sports Now, and of course it is time for Mike Naparella and the Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training segment. Hey Mike, first of all, you know, happy holidays. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas to you too as well. And, you know, Greg, I think we'll probably take this moment to
since this time that the so many people in the world are celebrating the birth of Christ, and we've got New Year's coming up, and you know everyone's in this spirit of season of giving and reflecting on things, just for us to take a moment and just say thank you to all the people out there who have supported Peak Performance over the years. We've just been so blessed, Greg, to have so many youth athletes and their parents and their coaches put their trust in us. I mean, it's such a big deal when someone has an injury and they can't really get back, and they're struggling with things, they don't know what to do, and they come to us for help, to put their faith and trust in us to be the people that help them. It is just a real honor to us, and so we just really feel blessed that people would trust us to do that and give us a chance to help other people and be a blessing to others. And the same thing is true, certainly, for all the physicians who had choices, but they chose to send their patients to us, and we really just do appreciate that. And we've got, between the injured athletes and the sports training clients, just a lot of people to say thank you to. And certainly, you know, we're on the show here on U Sports Now. Definitely want to say thank you to the listeners out there. We've had awesome feedback from people who've listened to the show, and certainly the people who've sent in their email questions. So we know there's people out there who have a heart for youth athletes and have taken the time of their day to sit down and listen to the show, whether it be on podcast or live. And we just really appreciate that. So we just want to say thanks, and certainly Merry Christmas to everybody.
Well, Mike, you know, I certainly, you know, follow those sentiments exactly. And thank you, my friend, for everything that you've done for this youth sports community. I mean, it's, you know, you're thanking the patients and the doctors, and I think the community needs to thank you and Karen and your whole team at Peak Performance. And it's something that, you know, it's something that is really good about the Rochester youth sports community and the overall community, that we've got somebody like you. And Mike, you know, with that whole in mind, with that idea in mind of talking about our whole community, you know, you're doing something at Peak Performance. We talked a little bit about it in the past, but you're working with Paradigm Volleyball Club, which is pretty interesting to me. Part of it, of course, is that your daughter is part of that club, but you are training large groups. So you've got a large group program where I'm assuming there's close to 15 or 20 kids in a group versus the type of training that, you know, an athlete may do if they came in one-on-one with you at Peak Performance. Tell us about the difference and how you guys work it.
Well, yeah, we started touching on this last week, and just to, you know, remind people, Paradigm Volleyball Club is one of several of the travel sort of program volleyball clubs that are for the kids, mostly of high school age, but starting around 14s and going up into 18s, who are looking to maybe take it to a little bit higher level, play a little bit more seriously, get some training and some work outside of just the high school season. And many of these young ladies, and certainly for the clubs that have boys programs, you know, a lot of these kids are aspiring to playing in college, and so they're a bit more serious, a bit more committed, and just trying to work on improving their game and taking it to a different level and get more coaching beyond what they have in just the limited months of their high school season. So when we work with this large group, again, it's, you know, we've got three teams of 10 or two teams of 10 rotating through the night, and they each do a half hour. So in a situation like that, it is absolutely different, Greg, from the way that it would happen from a group that would come into our clinic and I would train them in the clinic. So when we're at Hot Shots and we're training with large groups, we would consider that maybe what we call more of a sports conditioning sort of program. And we began to touch base on that last week, but let me share with you just a little bit on what some of the differences are. Obviously, in a group of 20 or 30 kids, we can only be so detailed in terms of individualizing and customizing a number of things. The first thing is what happens when they first walk through the door is some sort of assessment or evaluation. We can do some scanning through as a group, and we certainly catch the big things that we see somebody's doing. For example, last Thursday night, we had them doing some balancing drills and noticed that some of the girls, but not all of them, but some of them would collapse their knee inside of their big toe when they were doing their squatting. And we don't believe that that's always such a terrible thing, but when it's happening excessively, it certainly is a path of motion we don't like. And so we were able to scan through the crowd and catch the kids who are doing something that is clearly in a path that we don't like and help them make some modifications on that the other kids didn't need to do. So there is some of that can go on in a large group, but it's certainly less than what happens you know, when we have a group of, let's say, six athletes in a program in the clinic. So we can have with a large group hurdles and ladders and medicine balls and things like that. But the real difficult thing if you've got a group of 20 or 30 kids is to really assign them the right loading. So that would really affect things like their strengthening program, their power programming, things that involve resistance or weightlifting. We don't do a lot of barbell work. We do some in the clinic, but not a ton. Really think that things like kettlebells and dumbbells, for example, give you a lot more freedom to stay with that term that we've used so often, function, so that we're not locked into sometimes traditional lifts that oftentimes don't quite mimic and help the body prepare ideally for the types of varied positions that we get to on the athletic field or court. So we're really big on dumbbells and kettlebells and resistive tubing, as well as medicine balls and things like that. But I'm talking especially about things you can hold in particularly one hand. So obviously if we've got a group of 10 or 20 or 30 kids, particularly the 20 or 30 size, you'd potentially, if you've got a bunch of kids doing different exercises, we'd have to have more weights, Greg, than LA Fitness or Bally's has on their racks at the gym there for everybody who's there if we're going to do an entire team doing a similar workout. So that's the one thing that when you're in a very large group does get sacrificed a bit, and that's why we call it a sports conditioning program. They'll do a balance and core and body weight strengthening, and they can do some resistive work with medicine balls and maybe light dumbbells, but they're not going to get loaded optimally. Now, when those athletes come in our clinic, and some of the kids who are a bit more serious at some point down the road decide they want to do a more dedicated sports performance training program, then when they come in the clinic, we, number one, do a customized initial evaluation on them where they're getting an orthopedic biomechanical screening. We're going to really identify what their unique issues are, what their shortcomings are that are likely affecting their performance. And then those things get addressed right off the bat as a customized, individualized, personalized program versus some generic thing. That, you know, there's a lot of people throwing the words out there, quote-unquote sports-specific, but very often we need to step back and realize that these are athletes with athlete-specific, with individual, personal issues. A left ankle that doesn't move as well as a right ankle, a hip that's a little stiffer than the other side, a core that's weak in one set of obliques but not the other. It doesn't really matter whether I'm a batter or a swimmer or I'm a pitcher versus a catcher. What first matters is what things aren't you bringing to the table as an athlete that you should. And so in a smaller group setting, we can identify those things. In a large group setting, certainly you're not going to be able to be as thorough with that. So in the smaller group setting, and again, we do our small groups anywhere from usually 2 to 6. Once we get above that, it really changes the programming a bit more. In those smaller groups, now people are getting to use the loads they need. If you're doing a step-up exercise that requires 45-pound dumbbells, you're going to hold 45-pound dumbbells. And if there's someone else in your small group that needs 45, they're going to get them as well. So we've got 2 racks of enough dumbbells to do that, and kettlebells and tubing and all those things again. So it does make the program more individualized and customized. The great thing about a large group, Greg, as you know from dealing with teams, is that in that large group setting, there's an awful lot of encouragement and camaraderie and team bonding that can happen, and that has a lot of great assets to it as well. And certainly in a large group like this, there's 20 kids or 30 kids, and in total, it's 50 kids at this club who are getting access to sports training that they never would have had access to otherwise, and oftentimes would have never chosen to do on their own had they not been part of the club. So there's pluses and minuses to both sides. Very rarely is something 100% all good and 100% all bad, and there's pluses and minuses, like I said, to both programs. But it's going really well so far. It's neat seeing some of the changes the girls are already showing, so we're really excited about it.
You know, Mike, with U Sports, not every player is created equal, and certainly not every coach is created equal. So when we talk about some of the things that you guys do at Peak Performance, you know, compared to others, it's not necessarily, you know, created equal. So the expertise that your team has with sports biomechanics and function, I'm sure that helps you, you know, do things a little bit differently and, you know, know, I would venture even say better. So how does that enter into your training programs, again, whether it be individual or with groups?
Well, I'll give you an example. Even when it comes to something simple like stretching. So, you know, listen, we've got a group of what we're going to talk about, the Paradigm Volleyball girls now, who have a shoulder dominant activity, right? They swing at the ball, they're blocking, they serve. So there's a lot of shoulder things that go on. And so one of the things that happens, whether it be coaches, whether it be the athletes themselves and people looking on the internet, and even with sometimes with physical therapists and personal trainers, when they're given exercise programs, is we look at that and say, hey, that's a shoulder dominant activity. Let's make sure the shoulder is flexible. And so we commonly see kids being taught, you know, one kid taking another kid's arm and pulling it behind them to stretch out their pec muscles, the chest, and the front of their shoulder to make sure that they're mobile enough. Another one that kids may do is they may put their hand on a wall and then start turning their body away from the wall to stretch out their chest, their pec muscles, the front of their body, so that they can feel like that arm swings back behind them very well. And from a sports biomechanics perspective, this is a great example of where having people who are expert enough to know the difference is really critical, because if we go back to the injury thing we talked a little bit about last week, and we've actually discussed in weeks past about a swinging sport like volleyball or like a throwing movement like a baseball or like a tennis serve, for example, is athletes who go through that swinging motion tend to have some risk of what we call shoulder instability. So that means where your arm bone connects to your shoulder blade, there's ligaments that hold that together. And sometimes if you don't have the right proportion of motion in different places, those ligaments can be slowly stretched out. And then we believe it really starts in those youth years when they're being taught early and they're throwing or they're hitting or swinging early. And if that stretches out, it can start to wreak havoc on the body. Now, a challenge with that is you got to ask yourself why they're having a struggle with getting their arm back or why they feel maybe restricted that they want to stretch. When we look at it biomechanically, Greg, in this example, it's very frequently that the kids have a limitation in not that top muscle. If you watch bodybuilders, you see this big round pec muscle that everyone does when they're posing, right? That's the big pec muscle on top. And that's the one that's being stretched if you put your hand on the wall and turn your body away, or if you have somebody pull your arm behind you to feel like you're stretching. But that also stretches out the front shoulder ligaments. And so for an athlete who's got a swinging motion or a throwing motion of their shoulder, that could very much risk the exact thing that we see getting injured down the road. What they really often need, biomechanically speaking, isn't some generic shoulder stretch or a generic pec stretch. They really need a stretch of the muscle that's underneath that. And that's not going to get stretched the same way if their arm is being forced behind their body or on a wall. So we actually, that's one of the first stretches we did with the girls. We had them lie on the ground, and it's a partner stretch. There's very few ways to stretch this muscle well. But a lot of them had these looks of surprise on their face as someone held their shoulder blade down and they moved their body in a way that stretched the deep muscle. And that pec minor muscle, the one that's underneath, it's the muscle that gets shortened when we sit with our shoulders really rounded. And so we can see that. That's a big habit these days. We're on cell phones, we're on computers, you know, we're sitting at a desk doing work. And so those shoulders get rounded and that deep muscle gets short. And then you want to bring your arm back behind you to throw a ball or serve a tennis racket, or in this case, to swing at a volleyball. And the shoulder blade doesn't want to come along for the ride. So if you get your hand on the wall from a sports biomechanics perspective, start yanking on it and turning, you'll feel pulling across your chest, but it's actually the wrong muscle, and it's going to risk stretching out that shoulder. I'll give you another example, Greg, of agility. This is a great example. Last week we had a lot of discussion with the girls about side-to-side and lateral movement. Now, we're talking volleyball, but this really holds true totally for just about any sport that requires lateral side-to-side change of direction. So, for example, for your teams in baseball, another perfect example. Oftentimes when people do agility training, we look on the internet or we read a book or we go to a course and someone, they come up with all these drills. It's a lot of drills. And so we're doing agility work on ladders. We're going around cones. all sorts of things where we're changing direction, or even plyometrics where we're leaping side to side and doing various drills. But we've really got to take a step back from a biomechanics perspective and understand, how are we going to load that hip? And here's one of the problems that we see all the time, and that we did see in these girls, and we're teaching them now. Let's say you're down in a squatted position, and in your sport in baseball, Greg, it'd be a fielder's ready for a ball, right? They're squatted down in athletic posture. The girls are down on the defensive side, ready to receive a serve or trying to get a dig on a spike, on a hit. And they have to move side to side very quickly. One of the things that we see happen oftentimes is that kids plant that leg not far enough outside their body, and so their stopping force in that direction is poor. And then the other thing that happens is they'll hit their foot and move back quickly, or try to move back quickly, but we see the foot roll to the outside a bit, and their knee rolls to the outside with them as well. And biomechanically, here's the problem. If they don't keep that inside border of their shoe down on the ground firmly, so that's the big toe side and it's the inner side of your heel, if you don't make some conscious effort at keeping that down and you roll too far to the outside of your foot along your fifth toe and the outer side of your heel, if you roll to the outside of that foot, your knee is going to roll with you. And if it does, now you didn't load your butt. And we know our butt is what we call a powerhouse. It's a source of great explosiveness in our body. We've got some of our biggest muscles that we own are attached to our butt, our hip muscles. So if you're going to be explosive on side-to-side movement, you've got to make sure you can keep that hip loaded. But when athletes just start doing all these creative drills, and whoever's with them doesn't understand the sport's biomechanics adequately, they may be doing lots of drills, you know, whether they're basic drills, and oftentimes we see kids advancing, you know, to too high of a level of a drill without going back and really understanding the base technique of what they should be trying to accomplish. So we really spent some time from a biomechanics perspective teaching these girls and drilling into them that when they do the lateral agility, that's all fine, but it's not going to be of any value moving up in difficulty on a drill if you don't have the inside border of that foot stopping you and you rolling to the outside too far. You're going to risk spraining your ankle, number one. Number two, you're certainly not going to be very quick, and you're not loading your hip well. So the ability to change direction and go wherever you want will be compromised. So those are two good examples, I think, of where whoever's working with you needs to have enough expertise in biomechanics or sports biomechanics and orthopedics to really get the motions right. It's not just a matter of doing a bunch of creative drills and making people sweat. And everyone and their brother is a sports trainer these days. And some people who aren't formally trained are awesome trainers and very knowledgeable. But not everybody is, and that's one of the challenges in this field that we're in the sports performance side, is there are no standards or rigors that anyone is held to. In physical therapy, it's a different ballgame. In physical therapy, you have to have a state-required license. You have to sit for state exams and pass minimal criteria and have a license. In medicine, it's the same thing for a physician. But in sports training or in personal training, there's hundreds of certifications out there. Some of them are just purely online. Some are just a two-day thing. You know, some take months to do. So there's a lot of variety out there. And people, it's hard for the community to know, you know, how do I know that someone's qualified to instruct me or not? And there's really very few ways to compare people because there's so many different governing bodies or bodies that offer credentials of some sort of certification. How can you compare them? You know, a physical therapist, you know everyone had to pass that same test. So there's some minimal criteria. So it's very difficult for people to know, how can I be certain that the people that are training me know these things? It's not an easy answer.
Well, I mean, the easiest thing to do is certainly to go to Peak Performance. But, you know, that it brings up a good point. Mike, one of the things that I wanted to ask in our remaining minute here with you is this. You know, you talked about some of the things that you're training the girls at the Paradigm Volleyball Club and certainly working with your athletes one-on-one. But at what point, I mean, this may sound like a dumb question, but is the athlete then consciously thinking about, okay, I've got to move my foot a certain way, I've got to move my knee a certain way, I've got to be biomechanically correct? Or is it that you train them so that it becomes second nature? And is it muscle memory? Is it brain memory? Is it both?
Greg, you asked an awesome question, and you answered it as well. I love how you're thinking. I think you're exactly spot on. It's all that stuff. In the beginning, I think, you know, it's going to have to be, some things are going to have to be conscious. From a function standpoint, and when we think of being authentic about the way the body works, never in your life did anyone make you walk by telling you to consciously think of every muscle that needs to be squeezed. Even as I speak, never did I learn how to speak by consciously thinking how to contract the muscles of my throat and my lips and my tongue to make words come out, right? We learn how to do things unconsciously. There's automatic things. So we want to be very careful of overlaying too much conscious thought into performance and function, because we think it causes unnecessary steps, and sometimes it cripples progress. However, there are some times, and this is an example, I think, where bad habits can come into play, and some of the body's natural tendencies, and some of this depends on each specific athlete, right? If someone's got a unique tightness versus somebody else, or a unique weakness versus somebody else, they're going to have different struggles, and they have to be coached through that. Sometimes it's an easier step in the process of coaching them to give them some conscious cueing, some things they literally will think about, versus trying to come up with a drill that they don't have to think about but just makes it happen. We try and do that whenever we can. So sometimes, just by the way that we have them reach their hand, we can make them load the inside of their foot more. But we do give them some conscious cueing, and early on with basic drills, we know that that's going to be something they're literally thinking of. But soon it starts to become their second habit. And then it's critical, as you said, that it becomes an unconscious, automatic tendency. Only then is it going to be really applied and useful to sport, because things happen too quickly to have it be a conscious thing. You can't have a girl in the middle of a game thinking, when she moves to the side, hey, I better load the medial or the inside part of my foot when I take a step to the side to go try and reach this ball, because I may have to come back quickly the other way. That, there's just no time for that. They've already lost the point, and the next serve is already being served by the time that thought grows through your head. But that's why we do it in drill work. And then it gets automated over time, and that gets applied into the sport eventually.
That just amazes me, Mike, because, you know, it seems like it's so second nature, or it will become second nature. So I'm just thoroughly amazed that these young athletes that you work with can work this way and do this. And of course, it has a lot to do with their teacher, their coach, their physical therapist, and their sports trainer, everybody at Peak Performance. Mike, it's been a pleasure, and you know, always great information. And we've got so much more. We've got some questions that our listeners have been sent in. We'll pick up next time. And hey, you have a good week.
Sounds great. Merry Christmas to everybody.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
And when we come back on U Sports Now, the youth sports nice list for the holiday season.
Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice.
At this time of year, there's always a naughty and a nice list during the holiday season. But I thought that I would be nice as the self-proclaimed youth sports Santa. And I've been checking my list, and in fact, I've been checking it twice just to see who's been extra nice in 2013. Those that will absolutely receive or already receive some extra stocking stuffers this year include the Rochester Red Wings and the Amerks for bringing Frozen Frontier to youth and high school hockey teams. What a tremendous opportunity for the Pee Wee and Section 5 athletes to have the chance to play outdoors in a stadium and follow the tradition that the NHL started a number of years ago. To USA Hockey for their programs that have been and will continue to urge young players to play multiple sports and the permission to miss a hockey game or two if they're playing another sport. More leagues should be doing this and take the pressure off the kids in making those sporting decisions. On my nice list is an 11-year-old little leaguer named Peyton Pace. After the Boston Marathon explosion, young Mr. Pace proclaimed that he was tired of hearing about bad things and wanted to do something good. He and his dad organized a 100-inning baseball game that raised money for the Boston Strong Fund. To the University of Rochester women's softball team for participating in programs that brought girls' softball teams from Little League to one of the college games, invited them on the field, answered questions about college sports specifically for women. To the thousands of volunteer coaches who give of their time and talent in Monroe County and the surrounding areas, these coaches have jobs, families, and obligations and still find the time to be at the fields. And an extra candy cane for those who spent time getting certified. To the local businesses that sponsor youth sports leagues all over Monroe County, the surrounding counties, and our whole area in general. Sure, they get advertising and awareness of their business, but without their sponsorship dollars, there would be less equipment, less uniforms, and less teams in most youth sports leagues. To the youth sports grandparents, who have become much more part of the youth sports organizations than ever before, they're no longer just the cab drivers when parents aren't available. Grandparents provide great support to youth athletes at every level and can stereotypically be very objective when it comes to the young players. Lastly, to the youth sports participants themselves, they are on my extra nice list. Their passion, their love of the game, and their dreams are all so pure and genuine as they start out in the beginning void of adult involvement and interference. Each youngster starting out in youth sports sharing the excitement of what could be and share the dream of taking their team all the way to the championship and carrying that team on their back. That's what youth sports is all about. And they're on my extra nice list at this holiday time. That's the view from my dugout.
This has been Youth Sports Now, Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete, has been brought to you by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance, and by McQuaid Jesuit High School, and by TJT Sports Photography. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.